Time to bring in Mike Kozzi and talk a little sports. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
A little normalcy, anyways, to talk about sports, even though the sports stories are abnormal themselves. First of all, remember during the season when Julian Edelman was accused of vandalism?
Yeah.
Now, that case has been dropped. So once again, sometimes justice takes too long. And by the time it's dropped, people have, you know, it's long gone. The damage has been done to somebody's reputation. So,
well, why do these cases take so long to get put in the court?
I think
why is the court so busy?
I don't know if it's the courts or if it's lawyers wrangling for more money. Do you know what I mean? I think it's a combination of both. The courts are slow.
Maybe they should check Julian Edelman's checking account and see who he made some money out to and made a donation to the charity of whose choice to get out of it.
It's just, I don't know.
These people do the crime, do the time. See you later.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
And Major League Baseball had come up with some sort of weird plan to quarantine players to start the season, and players are already saying that's just not going to work. It's a team game. It's really hard. If you're going to quarantine players, just put the season off a little longer and start a little later. That's another plan that sounds a little wacky to me, myself, anyway.
Well, you know, listening to all these things of so-called experts that know what's going on, but then in the next breath they say, these are uncharted waters, so we don't know. So everybody's opinion is pretty much worthless. The only thing I'm glad is that it's not 1940, because if we had to go to a world war to defend ourselves, I'm pretty sure we'd have a million excuses why we can't go.
I think you're probably accurate about that. But anyway, I want to talk to you about something else. And you know what? At my age, it just slipped my mind. I go, what the heck? In sports, what was it going to be about? I don't know. Isn't it weird when you look at you're not a golfer, but when you look at the golf schedule, the Masters is going to be played in the fall? Or are they going to have fake azalea?
I don't really understand why they're not playing golf. I really don't understand that, because you're not going to have the crowd, period, end of story. But, I mean, how many people are playing golf in the tournament?
It's not maybe
60, 70?
Yeah, but there's hundreds of people that are that do the backup work and stuff like that. I mean, I
what
can
backup
see.
Backup work? What do you mean? I don't understand what you're talking about.
There's literally, to put on a major golf tournament, the PGA brings in literally hundreds of people. Plus, there's volunteers from the community because charities.
Yeah, but all of these extra people and volunteers, aren't they predominantly there for crowd control and taking care of the crowd
and other things, but also why bother taking the risk of having one person get sick and die and then suing?
How do you really know somebody's going to get sick and die?
You don't, but why take a chance? That's what I can see.
Then we go back to the same thing again. Well, you know, I look at numbers. I'm a numbers guy. And the percentages of people getting sick and getting better are very, very high. The percentages of people that are healthy getting sick and passing away are very, very low. I'd roll the dice. I mean, if I went to the track and I had a 98% chance of coming out a winner, I'm going to the track every day.
Yeah, well, I have to disagree with you there. I think that you have to. There has to be an abundance of caution. There just has to be. So, but. We're speaking about horse racing.
Well, we ain't there yet. We got more sports.
All right.
I've seen the best baseball games I've seen in 20 years over the last week.
Where have you been watching them? Oh, yeah.
Major League Baseball.
That's right. They've been showing games, yep.
And they're showing games from the 70s, the 60s, the 80s, the 90s, when baseball was baseball. And it's a funny thing because I spoke to my nephew about these games, and he's like, oh, those guys are no good. I'm like, what do you mean they're no good? Look at how they swing. I said, well, it just proves to me that education today is not very good. Look at the way they swing. Well, and he says they don't throw that hard. I said, well, they throw 94, 95.
Yeah.
And they can hit their spots. And then all of a sudden you go from 94, 95 to an 86-mile-an-hour breaking ball, a 90-mile-an-hour slider, a 78-mile-an-hour changeup. So when you're standing there and you got a discrepancy of 20 miles an hour between pitches, you can't lock and load and swing like you do today. That's why the swings look uncertain.
Yeah.
You don't know what to say.
Yeah, no, but it's true. And also, you had true knuckleballers in that day, so you could have somebody.
You could even throw the knuckleballers. Knuckleballers are easier to hit.
Yeah.
Because you know that they're throwing knuckleball 95% of the time. But when you got a guy like Bob Gibson who's throwing mid-90s and he has an 88-mile-an-hour breaking ball that breaks about 2.5 feet, or you got Mickey Lolich throwing the ball in the mid-80s, upper 80s, and then the next thing you know you got a 70-mile-an-hour changeup and the ball's breaking all over the place, you can't lock and load. So that's the reason why the swings look a little off, because you were being fooled with the pitches.
And also,
you look at the bats that these guys were swinging, the size of the bats. These people playing Major League Baseball today probably couldn't swing that bat.
And also, the height of the mound was different and everything back then.
It was a much better game.
Yeah.
I would have been watching it every night, every day. You see right-handed guys hitting the ball to the right side of the infield, through second base, through right field, through right center. How many times do you see that today?
It's a totally, it's like tennis. If you look at tennis in the 70s, and you take the racket that they used to play tennis in the 70s with, and you look at the racket today, is like five times bigger. It's like five times bigger.
Yeah, so I've been watching these baseball games, and I know who won the games, but I'm watching them, and I enjoy them better than baseball, like I said, that I've seen probably for 20 years.
And I'm sure Red Sox fans have no problem looking at repeats of them winning championships.
They didn't win any championships prior to 20 years ago, but still,
they could still look at the rebroadcast of the championships they've won over the past 10 years.
I'm talking about good baseball. Over the last 10 years, it's been lock and load.
I know, but
before
still.
Before that. Maybe if you go back to when the Yankees came back and beat the Red Sox beat the Yankees those four games straight. That was probably the turning point of baseball. After that, it's been nothing but garbage.
All right, garbage. Hefty.
Real hefty garbage.
All right, what about racing?
You got three races this weekend, two at Gulfstream, one at Oaklawn. Oaklawn, I'll speak about it when I get to it. But we had two out of three winners last week at Gulfstream, by the way, so we did pretty good. The 10th race is the first race I'm doing tomorrow at Gulfstream. The 10th is an 8-horse field going 6 furlongs, another one of these optional $75,000 races. There's no rain in the forecast down South Florida, so the turf course down there is just atrocious, by the way. But in this race, going 6 furlongs, a couple horses I'm looking at. One is the 6-horse chart. This horse has two races under her belt. Broke her maiden first time out at Tampa, one going away by 5. Jumped from a maiden special weight race at Tampa into a Grade 2 stake at Gulfstream Park on February 29th and got totally demolished there, ran last by 26. But that's a gigantic step up. This horse subsequently has come back and worked well at training center for Mark Case down in Florida. So the 6 chart is a must-use. The 7 horse broke her maiden at Fairgrounds on the front, going away by 2.5 in nice time of 111. Has some decent works. Ships over because Fairgrounds is done to run in this race tomorrow, so this horse expect to go out early. And the 8-horse, Bachelor Bait, this horse has run one time at Laurel in September, sat off the pace, won pretty nicely, gets Lasix for the first time, is out of the mare Sangrita, who is a stakes winner for Mike Matz. This horse is a 15-1 morning line. I think this horse has a chance to sit, pounce, and run away with all the money here at what's going to be a pretty good price. So a 6-7-8 exacta box in the 10th at Gulfstream tomorrow. And I'm going to make a win ticket on Bachelor Bait. I'm going to take a shot at the big price here. My other win bet would be on the 6 chart, but the 8, I think, has a better-than-the-punches chance to take it all down in this race. The next race is the 12th. It's another one of these optional 75 claimers. This one's for older fillies and mares. Looking at three horses in this race, too. The two horse, JP's Delight, has two races sandwiched around the Stinko. This horse won at seven. This is six furlongs, too, by the way. Won at seven at Tampa going away twice, won by 2 3/4 and won by 4. In between there has a grade 2 thrown in and got totally demolished in that race. But this isn't a grade 2. This horse is back with the type of horse it belongs with, and I think this horse has a pretty good chance to win. The 7 horse, Aerosol, trained by Terry Pompey. This horse likes Gulfstream with 10 starts over the track, been in the money 6 times with 3 wins, shortening up a little bit off of a grade 3 try when it kind of ran middle of the pack. Prior to that, ran a nice race at this price of an optional 75 claimer at 6-1. This horse is a must-use. And the 9 horse, Pacific Gale, hasn't run since July and ran in 7 graded stakes in a row. So this horse has a huge class edge, trained by John Kimmel. Kimmel's barn's been running pretty good down there, and this horse is going to get my check mark to win the race. So the 9 Pacific Gale with the 7 and the 2 JP's Delight make up my exacta box. Now going over to Oaklawn, here's a 3-year-old race, which I guess you could say is a prep for the Kentucky Derby, but it's in September, so I don't know. And it's going to rain in Oaklawn tomorrow. Seems like it rains there about 4 days a week. 4 horses I'm looking at. One is the 1 horse Basin. This horse won the Hopeful at Saratoga in the mud by 6, came back in the Rebel, ran an even race, got beat by Nadal. Nadal ran a big number that day, had some traffic problems. I think this horse is definitely a win candidate. The 4 is a million-dollar purchase. Bobby Baffert chips this horse in. That alone makes this horse worth using in your number. The 8, Taishan, ran in the slop going a mile and 16th at Oaklawn, won by 4 lengths on the front end. I think this horse is going to have a little bit of an edge getting to the front. Rosario leaves Florida to come to Oaklawn, so Taishan is a must-use. And my top pick is a 20-1 shot. The 13 horse, Gold Street. This horse ran in and off track 3 times, one at Churchill, one at Fairgrounds, one at Oaklawn, won all 3. Came back in the Southwest on a dry track and ran pretty bad at 3-1, had some traffic problems. But if it's wet, this horse is my top pick. 3-for-3 in a wet sells me. So go by his past performances. He looks the best on the wet track. So I'm going to go with a 13-8-1-4 number in the 11th at Oaklawn tomorrow, which post is about 6:45 our time. And these races are all on TV. Fox, even if you don't have TVG, Fox Sports 1 and one of the MSG channels, they're showing them live. So you have a lot of opportunity to watch live racing, and it's the only game in town.
All right. Have a good weekend. Be safe, and we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, I'll be outside doing my walking and exercises today.
All right. Take care, Mike.
Take care, guys.
Bye. Mike Cossey with a check on sports this morning here on Robin Hood Radio.